Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I think it's been 12 years with this organization. Just thankful to everybody in Buffalo over the years that believed in me.
Brian Miller.
Yeah. There's a chance now to shove right to Miller. What a save.
And once again, it's stellar. Unbelievable.
And the shot. Miller makes the save. It's underneath. What a save. What a save.
Welcome, hour number two, and the man, the myth, the legend joins us here, Ryan Miller. If you're listening on WGR 550 video on MSG, we'll retweet that video from the Instigators account, but we're not going to do that right now because we got the man with us here. Good morning, Millsy. Bright and early out there in the West Coast. How's life? Retired old fart?
Life's good. Just getting a handle on what that means now without the expectation of, you know how it goes. You take a couple weeks or so, and then you got the summer training and all that on your mind. And I'm free and clear. I'm not thinking about it.
Will you put a good 10, 15 pounds in the next 6 months? Is that what you're trying to do?
I've never been able to put that on in my life. So
it'll come. Let me tell you, yeah. I wasn't able to, but it came somehow. It happened.
Somehow. Well, send me some notes.
Millsy, do you think, like, now that you're it's all going to settle in, right? You know, it's going to take some time for you to kind of like adjust your life because everything was so evolved around hockey and training and, you know, how you ate and how you slept and everything that you did. You know, do you think that you will still continue to kind of work out and do the things that, you know, that keeps you so fit? I remember at one of the training camps years and years and years ago where I think you did the most chin-ups on the team. it was unbelievable watching.
I remember that. I couldn't believe that.
Is that not, it was like, what the heck is going on here?
Not a lot of weight to pull up on the bar. That's the trick, guys. I think I'll be active. There's certain things I've learned over the years about taking care of myself that I think are just, you know, things you do in life to stay mobile. I don't want to, you know, get to a later stage in life and not have that mobility. And especially, you know, we're all former athletes. You know, you're going to have to work at it. The body went through a 25-year car crash. Like, it's just wear and tear. Little things are going to turn into bigger things later. So I'm definitely going to stay on top of it, but I'm definitely going to slow it down. I'm going to miss being on the ice as much as I used to be, but honestly, there's a little bit of relief in there as well, where you kind of look at, you got to climb the mountain once again in the summertime. And it's kind of a relief right now to be like, man, I don't have to go do the wind gate. I don't have to do the assault bike. I don't have to do the 13-minute assault bike test. I don't have to do the sprint test. Like all these just different things that are just small little victories for retirement. But yeah. I'll stay active. I guess you guys have been around me. I don't really sit still too much.
Ryan Miller joining us here on the Instigators and announced his retirement. What was the date exactly? What was it 3 weeks ago now, Millsy?
Something like that.
So you said in your press conference, you said that you wanted to take some time to kind of enjoy the game, the last week of it and everything. Were you able to do that? Was it different for you? How was it different? What did you do differently to kind of take in the enjoyment of the game while you kind of phased it out?
I mean, it's been kind of close to my mind the last couple of years to, you know, to enjoy it. And I mean, not that I wasn't enjoying it. It's just like sometimes you get caught up in the, you know, in the tougher parts of the season and you take it a little hard, but, or you take it too well, I guess, sometimes too. But I just wanted to have fun with it and kind of say goodbye. I thought that after talking to enough people about the way their careers had ended and talking to our goalie coach, Sudsy, talking to even our GM. I mean, everyone started telling me like, hey, you should probably say something about this. If you're going to absolutely retire, you should say something so that you have a chance to do everything. And you have a chance to say goodbye and other people who, you know, watched you or have been a part of your career have a chance to also do that as well. And it ended up being pretty great advice because I was humming and hawing about it for a while because, you know, like as hockey players, we don't want to be a distraction. And for sure with our situation, you know, we ended up sliding out of playoff contention and started to make more sense that I could take a moment for myself and I could make that announcement so that I could have that chance to say goodbye. And it was great advice. You know, I got to say goodbye. It's given me a lot of advanced closure. I didn't have to take this in the summer or even next fall and just be thinking about it. You know, I'm pretty content with where I was at. And it gave me a chance to include a lot of people who, you know, gave time to me. I was even talking to my brother Drew about it. You know, he's like, you know, his ending was he went to Europe for a bit and, you know, he came back home. He wasn't happy with how that was going. So he just was like, okay, that's it. And he told me, you know, like now that you're done and, you know, it's a chance for him to say, you know, okay, everything's, you know, tied up and we're done. The two of us are on that journey since we were little kids. And, you know, so that was a good way to think about it too. Just
was there a certain time? Was there a certain time that you really kind of like you started to think about it? And you made that decision concrete that you were going to retire?
I mean, it was pretty much the entire year I was operating like it would be in the last. When I signed in Anaheim, I knew like the role was going to be, you know, backing up John Gibson. And, you know, he's a great goaltender. And I just kind of told myself, okay, I'm going to give myself these 2 years, see where we're at. And I didn't feel like I had myself in a place where I could retire after those 2 years. And then another year, we get interrupted by the, you know, the COVID situation. And it just felt like every year there's a reason I should just come back. So I had some sort of a chance to just push it a little further and then have a chance to go out in a little bit better terms. And it ended up working out pretty well this year where, you know, I'm getting out with, you know, relatively healthy, and I'm getting out in a good place where I feel content. And you know, there's a lot to be said for that. And yeah, I'm happy with the way it played out.
Other than the fact that you had to come in and bail me out and win the game on the against Ottawa in a shootout during the brawl, what was your best? I'm sure that one is number one. What was your best memory win when you were a Buffalo Sabres? Which is the one that stands out?
Oh, I mean, that game was that just kind of epitomized the, you know, the team at the time. We were trying to figure out how to win against the bigger clubs. And I thought we were coming along as a group. So that was an important game for us, you know, for an identity. I thought that was a pretty cool moment to be a part of. I mean, you were a little busy, so I figured, you know, since you took on the hard job, I should just go out and try and make a couple saves in the shootout and get out of there so everybody's happy. But yeah, there's a lot of moments in Buffalo. It's hard to pick one because I just felt like our, you know, the way we kind of came together as a group, and then the way, like, I remember bonding with the guys. It was just a great moment in time for me. I think just overall the satisfaction for me was what we set out to accomplish, and we started to get confidence surrounding, you know, can we compete against the top teams? And then when it became apparent we were able to compete, it was like, okay, how do we beat them consistently? And it was really cool to be a part of that evolution, and where we actually were talking about, okay, we've done this, now how do we move on to this next step? And I thought that was a lot of fun.
Instigators Ryan Miller joining us here as he announces retirement this season. And we all got a chance to play with you, Millsy. And I want to go deep here a little bit, because you're a competitive guy. You're one of the most competitive human beings I know. And championships, will that void leave a stinging mark with you? Was that something you were hopefully trying to chase later on in your career?
I mean, every season, that's the intention. I mean, we had our moments in Buffalo where we came up short, and I had a couple other opportunities that didn't, you know, work out. Yeah, of course, it's not how you're writing the storybook script. But for me, I did the best I could do. I put it all out there, and I, like I said, I feel I'm pretty content with how it went. You can't go back and edit. I just think, looking back, I want to remember that it was a great accomplishment for me to get this far, but also the groups I was with. To hockey seasons are difficult. Ask a couple teams that are exiting the playoffs this year. I mean, there's a lot can be said about it's not always about what's expected. I'll always be disappointed that I didn't get to that place as a player. I'll leave some room to see if I can make it as something different in the game, because I don't think I'm going to be able to stay too far away from hockey, and I'd like to be as competitive at some point in that stage as I was as a player. So
I want to throw a makeshift issue with that. Hold on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was going to say, PD has his President's Trophy somewhere around. Rivs didn't even know what that trophy was. Do you walk by your President's Trophy and your Vezina Trophy in your house somewhere and think, like, that's really, really cool? Or do you think, man, there was something else? There was another shelf that I want to fill. Like, is there a satisfaction in those, or is it different?
Well, I think as a competitor, I mean, you're always going to feel like there could have been more. When you don't have, the championship, I feel like I did the best I could do. I'm not going to look back with any shame or anything, but you know, there's going to be something there. I mean, I walked by the trophies, and I do remember all the work that went into it, and the enjoyment I got out of playing the game. Like our Olympic silver medal is, you know, it was in the sock drawer, now it's in the safe. Like, it's meaningful.
I was going to ask you, where's your Olympic medal? Like, does it mean anything to you?
Is it on the fridge, like Al Kotelik?
It's meaningful to me. I have a bond with all the guys on that team. We still see each other and connect when we see each other. I thought we had a great tournament, but I mean, I think I asked David Backus the same thing, and he said it was in a safe, you know, same thing I got going on right now, but mine was, he graduated from a sock drawer to a safe. So, you know, proud of the accomplishment, and certainly, you know, it resides in my memory, but, you know, I don't know. I got the things kind of scattered about the house, but
let me throw this at you here. We do a fun segment on this show on Tuesday and Friday called This or That. So if you could share, if you could have one or the other, what would you have? Would you have your silver turn into a gold medal, or would you have one of those seasons turn into a Stanley Cup championship?
Stanley Cup. I think just the way things, just the bonding with the group and stuff like that, would have for sure loved something like that to happen. I think they're two different things, but I think for what I always valued, in the locker room and on the ice, I think that that would have been, you know, that would have been it. But, like I said, we're going down the road this way and can't edit anything. So,
yeah, but that's why we're here. We're here for the memories, Millsy. We're here for the memories.
Then Buffalo's gonna have to wait for the tell-all book where Petey's star character.
Well, Petey said, "Wait,
one
Petey,
of my greatest honors was you going as me as a Halloween costume. When you guys picked me up in the car and there's you, I'm like, what the hell are you supposed to be? And I look at you, I'm like, wait a minute, there's my hat. There's my jacket. There are my shin. I don't know what you had on, but anyway.
Millsy, Petey said you stuck your head out of the door at a hotel hallway one time and you told him to grow up. How many times do you think you told Petey to grow up?
Told the guys to grow up that were involved.
Petey doesn't mention how many trash cans full of water he left at the door before I said that.
I didn't leave on your door, did I?
I mean, no one was immune to it.
No, there was no immunity.
He hasn't.
What's your point, though, Marty?
I'm just saying you haven't grown up.
What's your point?
Millsy's
not going to sue or anybody. You don't realize that. The guy's as classy as it gets.
Depends on the book deal. I mean, come on.
Well, I'll just save chapters.
A businessman, too.
There's going to be a multiple chapters on Petey. There's no question about it. But you know what?
I'll just consolidate.
Yeah.
Do a coffee table book.
Just take one of your fashion show and just do a. I followed Petey all night that night, and there's a chapter right there.
For sure.
There's a reason why you were following me, Marty.
You know what, Millsy, when you sit there and you talk about, you know, how competitive you are, you know, obviously when I got here to Buffalo, I don't know if you know this, but you single-handedly stole all the confidence away from me. It's like, I've never seen a goaltender try so hard in practice. It was ridiculous. I watched players that you had played with for many years. You had this thing about not having pucks in your net, like ever. There was not allowed to be a puck in your net, and guys would be trying to shoot pucks in your net and you would get so upset. What are you going to miss the most? Because you are a true competitor in every sense of the word, whether it's in practice, the way you train, the way you treated your body, everything in games. But you also grew up with a really special group of guys coming up, you know, the Sausage, Derek Roy, to Jason Pominville, to Andrew Peters, to Paul Gostad, and Thomas Vanek. It went on and on and on. And there was such an incredibly tight bond with you guys. And I think that you guys all are still great, great friends. You know, it's like, what are you going to miss the most? Are you going to miss the most dealing with those times with your buddies, or are you going to miss the most of the actual competition of playing in the National Hockey League?
Well, I guess it kind of blended. I'm going to miss the head bonks after you win a game. You know, you get the boys and you get the competitiveness. I mean, the satisfaction of you all came together as a group and did something night to night, you know? Yeah. And, that's what I'll probably miss the most. You know, I've always kind of missed that deep relationship we had with the guys in Buffalo. You know, it was really sad that it all kind of couldn't stay like that forever. But I mean, that is kind of life, you know, things have to change. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be the thing. I'd like coming to the rink and going to work, but it's all about coming to work with a group of guys who, you know, you're on the same level. You had the wavelength was all the same. You know, that was always the fun part. I always like figuring things out and solving puzzles and doing that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, it's fun to do it by yourself. There's a satisfaction, but there's something extra when there's a certain energy about a group. And yeah, it's, you know, Roysey announced his retirement here. You know, hey, Petey, should we have a get behind number nine bash?
Oh my God, the Derek Roy bash?
You know that night? Nine? You remember that night we actually came in to play you guys in Buffalo and with Philly, and we won. And that's the night, and you guys may speak to it. How Lindy got so mad at Roysey because his banner was on Chippewa, how he's guest bartending. That was
I've been looking at my phone for like a day. I'm pretty sure I have a picture of that banner.
What like, a terrible banner to it go was back too. Through. It was just like it was as cheap a banner as you could get. You almost like it was borderline a bed sheet and spray paint.
I wish
hanging outside a college dorm.
I'm gonna find it. That's my goal for the week. I'm gonna add that to my schedule, Marty.
Milsey, yeah, you gotta write it in special ink for that one. But please put it on social media so we can jump all over it.
Do you have a few more minutes for us? Can you give us like 10 or 12 more minutes if we take a break? Because we are live, eh, Milsey? So we do have commercial breaks, and we know that people are sticking around and a lot of people are listening right now. So do you have more time to give us today? Because I don't want to cut it off now like we normally would.
No, we can go as long as you want.
Beautiful. I love it. So let's break now. We'll come back. And I'll give you time to think about your next answer because it's something.
It's a cliffhanger,
Yeah, well, I'm going to leave a cliffhanger for everybody because Milsey, I think it's been a cliffhanger since 2012. And it was the night that you got hit by Milan Lucic and I wasn't on the team. I was devastated after I saw it happen and saw the response. But I want to know, I think you guys went to Montreal after that. I want to know what was the mood like? What happened? Everybody at that moment, Craig, myself, Marty, you, we all know if something like that happens in a game, we know what that team's going to be like on the bus, on the plane. And I want to hear it from you. You were in there. You were the key figure in that incident. So what was it like after that? Ryan Miller joining us here. We'll talk to him about some other things too. See how much he gives us. You may not give us a lot, Milsey. I mean, maybe you're going to be closed, but you know what? People are going to be sticking around to find out. Instigators.
Oh, right. You're a master of the radio.
I'm trying.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, it's been bugging me for 10 years, however long it's been. It's not bugging me, but I don't know. That was a very weird time for Sabre fans, Milsey. That moment, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. We've done this show now for 5 years. Marty's been on with us 2 days a week ever since. And there are people, even during the current Sabres struggle, sometimes they say this goes all the way back to when Lucic ran Miller. And you're not going to say anything about that, but what happened after that? You waited in the locker room. You had some chosen words for the media. Tell me about the bus ride and the flight, because I think you guys went to Montreal after, if I'm not mistaken. Take us through that moment with the team and, you know, what was everybody feeling?
I don't know. I think it felt like, it felt like a, an uncomfortable situation in that we, lost the game. And I think I had come out of the game and tried to get back in or came out. And then, honestly, that whole time is a little bit of a blur because I was a little bit of a mess. So I just remember that the guys are, it's not that they didn't want to do anything about it. They were just trying to figure out, what happened in that situation. And then I think, Goose had to address it later on when we played them again at home. And, that's a tough matchup. I mean, Luch is a big boy, which is kind of why I stuck around to say anything about him. It's like, I can't ever do anything to get back at it. And I, in that moment, I was probably not thinking all that straight, but I felt in the moment I made eye contact with a player who misplayed a puck. And I thought I was going to get benefit of the doubt on the play. So
did he say anything? Yeah, did he come into the room and, or even after the flight, like you land wherever you're going, the next day you have a team meeting?
Yeah,
like,
there was a team meeting.
Did Lindy like just unleash it on the boys?
Well, he wanted to address it, but I think that it's gathered a lot of hype over the years. I wasn't expecting anything, and I'm not going to hold any grudges with the way it was handled. I mean, it was a weird situation. And, sometimes those things catch everybody off guard. No one knows what's right.
Were you surprised by the outside reaction then? Did the players wonder, what the problem was on the outside?
I mean, I don't know. I think that they felt like the next chance that we had to play was going to get addressed. I mean, you see with the way the Rangers and Washington played out and, an unfortunate situation where, the league probably could have gotten ahead of it, but they didn't. And then the team feels like they have taken on, but it's the next game. I mean, I don't know what people were expecting otherwise.
Well, you talk about like moments that define like your time in Buffalo and the team and the atmosphere in the team. Like we talked about the Drury incident where it was people still talk about the Ottawa Brawl as that team was together. And then now it seems like every time the Sabres have issues and they have a losing season after a losing season, they point out to the Lucic hit on you. Like, is it fair to look at it that way, or is it unfair because that had nothing to do with what the team or the guys were feeling in the room?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one, but I've seen it handled different ways in the NHL. You go out the next shift if it's something that's, it plays out that way, or you can handle it, down the road. I think the culture of hockey it seems to be, I had no expectation on it. I was more ticked off that I got hit, and I probably shouldn't have said anything about it. Honestly, now that I look back on it, because it probably made this into a situation where I said something. So I'm obviously people feel like I'm trying to express something that's outside the locker room. I just kind of was caught up in the moment, felt like it was a cheap shot. And, I don't know. Like I said, probably wasn't the way to go about doing it because it probably added just a hype to it that it wasn't necessary. And the boys tried to address it the best they could. It's a hard job. I mean, Petey and Craig and, Marty, you have to step up and get in the fight.
So did you, Millsy, in Toronto. I was about to ask you about that one too. Careful.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've all had to try and step up at a different moment, but it's not easy. I mean, you start a fight, I mean, odds of getting hurt are pretty high if you win or lose. So, I'm never one to ask or require somebody to handle my business. But I think that by me maybe saying something that it got kind of taken a different direction. And then it became a disconnect or something where the narrative became that we were disconnected. I think there are a lot of other things going on. We're always trying to find your identity as a team. And I think there are other issues and other things during those years where we're trying to figure things out after we've had some players come and go. So, I mean, that's just kind of where it is.
Fascinating. It's fascinating. Just to hear you talk about it, because I've never asked you about it. And I know that people are listening and they probably always wondered too, what your perspective of was it. And I'll say this before we move on. I love what you said. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the show and I'm defending you and we're buddies and former teammates. I think we need more of that in sports. I want to see a teammate call out a player on another team and tell him he's gutless or whatever. I really do. I think it needs to happen more often, but I think that's what you said to him. I don't want to take words out of your mouth, Billy. Was it gutless? Did you say gutless? I'm pretty sure you said yeah, no. You called him a piece of SHI. Cannot finish spelling that word. That's what you called him
on the air. I said some stuff, but like I said, it's.
Oh, you blame it on the hit.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Probably wasn't the best way to handle it because it just leaves space for people to infer different things. And there's other stuff that you can point to during seasons that kind of get away from you. So I think that the narrative probably doesn't have any influence on the current Sabres. So I think people can probably find something else to talk about.
Who's your source on that? Who's your source on that? Marty, Craig, anything you want to add? Because I have a great Twitter question here, but I know you guys are also chomping at the bit to talk to Millsy here.
No, I saw some good Twitter question as well. So go ahead. I know the fans are wanting to know a little bit more. So that's great.
Fans want to ask you questions. We're doing it through Twitter. You can tweet at the Instigators. What do you consider your greatest accomplishment in hockey? Not necessarily a game / championship or an award. Could be helping young guys or training, etc.
I mean, if you're making it completely about myself, I think just being able to play as long as I did. I think that I always watched the game as a fan and I tried to adapt to the situation the game that was being played in the NHL. I think, Marty can probably speak to it. As a goaltender, you come in the league, you're making reads at a college or junior level. And then you get used to that pro level. And then the pro level, once you're there, keeps changing. I feel like every 2 to 3 years, there's small adjustments being made that kind of, take a mainstream. And you see teams, when they do it early enough, they're the front runners. And like the Sabres, we benefited from that coming out of lockout. We were the team that was going to be speedy. We're going to open up the game. We're going to push. We're going to have lines that could score, but we're going to play with some pace. And teams started to catch up to that and started to evolve again. And I think that I was just happy that I could pay attention, come up with ideas about how to be better, and then practice them and then get them into games and stay current. I think that was a pretty big accomplishment, and that it took a lot of work and a lot of attention over 18 years.
You've got your Michigan State t-shirt on. For those who are watching on MSG, they can see it. If you're on WGR 550, he has a green Michigan State t-shirt on. 2001, you win the Obie Baker. Brian Gionta was a finalist. There was a lot of really good names there. Was that like something that set it for you thinking, I am going to make it? I know there's a moment in my career where I was like, I am going to make it. Was that your moment?
Yeah, I mean, getting drafted was a good checkpoint, but then being able to perform at a high level in college was a dream for me. And then, I mean, winning that award was kind of like mind-blowing. I think that...
only the second goalie to do it at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty wild.
Come on, Marty.
I don't know. I
Well, if you know he's the second, you got him number one. You're a goalie, Marty. Goalie union.
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at
Rob with two B's. There's your
Robbie Tallis. No,
who? Stauber.
Oh, Rob Stauber. Oh yeah, that's right. Guy played for the Sabres too. Rochester scored a goal. Millsy, that's a big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I never did that either. Lots of regrets.
Did you want to score a goal? Did you ever try?
Oh, I don't think I don't think I had the guts to do it when Lindy was on the bench.
You wouldn't have walked up to Lindy and said, Lindy, I may mess it up, but I'm going to try, like Merzlikin did with Torts a couple of weeks back.
Oh, I don't know. You've been in Marty's office, or Marty, you've been in Lindy's office when he's not happy.
Yeah, that's not good.
You don't want to be there.
I was in the office with Lindy the night after you broke your thumb that morning when you took that Teppo Neumann shot in the morning skate. Yeah, and you lost 10-4 to Ottawa. And both Darcy and Lindy were not happy. So I've been in there on the worst of times, that's for sure. So, but I have to thank you, Millsy, for actually your injury. It allowed me to get myself going again. So I thought my career here in Buffalo was over, and then I got going again. So
hey,
thanks.
Millsy, were you sleeping? Your name was called at the draft. A friend of mine just messaged me, asked me, said they had to wake you up at the draft because your name got called.
No, you know my brother Drew. He got bored and we were messing with each other. He was like, he was literally like had his, he's like poking at me or doing something. And I was distracted. I do remember that.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. All right. So
Drew was met. Like, well, first back then you could go to the draft longer, but like the information I was receiving is I was going to go maybe even second round. So I was like, oh, I should show up. And then the teams that were interested second round, they went with the goalies from the OHL. Because I was playing in the North American League. I mean, it was a bit of a risk to take a goalie from the North American League at that time. Yeah. And so I was just kind of spacing out. You know, we're getting pretty deep in the draft there, fifth round. And I think Drew was messing with me. He's poking me in the ear, doing something
Mike
Liu, a little brother would do.
He was asleep. That's what I'm being told. Mike Liu, you were asleep. I don't know. I don't know, Millsy. I don't
Mike's
know.
Mike's getting foggy.
I could see it. This another text message from somebody wants me to ask you about a band reunion, three beers down, maybe one night.
Tom Askey
is listening, and he would like me to say, man. He said, ask him about.
I guess we're all, well, Roisey's free now too, so I guess we're all free.
Well, that's what happens. So I think next year when a concert's coming to town, I think Three Beers Down should open for Three Doors Down.
Now, are you still playing the guitar, Millsy?
Not as much as I used to.
Well, now you got some time.
Yeah, now I got time. Got to show the little guys the ropes too. You know, we started him on drum lessons because we noticed he's always doing something with his hands. So we got him some drumsticks and drum set and stick the drumstick in his hands.
You do not touch my drum set. Don't touch it.
Well,
the Ryan Miller band could be you, your little guy at the drum, your wife singing. I don't know. She's probably got a good voice. So there you go. You got a trio right there.
Yeah, I'll take it on the road.
Absolutely.
Elsie, I got a question for you. I am surprised no one's even asked this question up to this point, but you know, we've all played with players throughout our time and watched other players that we've played against move into, you know, different, you know, stages of hockey throughout their life. You're now retired. And, you know, what is the next step for you? Do you see yourself in a number of years being a general manager of an NHL hockey team?
Pause right there, Millsy, because we're going to take a break.
You're coming back.
And you're going to have about three minutes on the other side to answer this brilliant question that Craig can't believe that no one's asked you that I heard at your press conference. We'll be right back, Instigators. WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes. Craig, go ahead and ask a brilliant question.
No, Mart. No, Petey. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to disrupt the last 3 minutes. No, Mart. Honestly,
yeah.
Now that things are done, do we see GM in the future?
I mean, I would love to do something like that with the team at some point. I think a lot of guys would, but it's going to take some work like anything. So I think in the short term, I want to do some stuff where around the game, I want to kind of explore some ideas with USA Hockey or some other organizations about player development type stuff. I have some ideas. And that way I can stay close to the game without being on like a coach's schedule, which is, you know,
about what if TNT or ESPN call, or what if the instigators say, Millsy, we'd like to have you once a month. Like, you know, there's room in the media.
Once a year is just fine, Millsy. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Don't want to steal Petey's thunder. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of ways to stay close to the game. And you know, I feel like, you know, I'm 41 in July. I put, you know, 30 odd years of hockey knowledge in the bank. You know, it'd be nice to use it in a productive way. I don't think I want to reset my entire life and learn something completely new and be a 41-year-old person trying to do something completely new. I want to use a lot of the knowledge I have. And I think that the things that interest me are definitely player development, more of a managerial side. I think coaching is interesting to me, but like I think the hours for that are not going to line up with the life I want to live right now. I don't know, maybe down the line. That depends on where my family's at with things. But that seems like, you know, the coaches are there so much. You know, you get older, you start to respect how much those guys actually have to do. I mean, they're there, you know, outside the schedule. They're there in the summers. They're building game plans. They're doing video. They're breaking it down. They're traveling as much as the players in season. They're staying longer at the rink a lot, most days. It's something that I look at and I'm like, oh yeah, no chance right now at all. So I think there's other ways to stay close. And I definitely want to start talking to people about that. But yeah, I'm inspired by our boys, like, you know, Danny Briere and Chris Drury now getting the big job and with the Rangers, you know, even, you know, Jason Botterill, you know, who, you know, spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh and then got the job in Buffalo, and him moving on to Seattle, I think is a great move for him. He's a really, you know, a good hockey mind, great guy. And, you know, it's pretty wild though, to be seeing all the guys that we played with over the years are starting to filter into those positions. And, you know, I think it's pretty cool. And I'd love to have a chance at some point, but we'll see. There's a lot of work to be done. It took Chris Drury a long time to, you know, to put the time in. And I think that's what you have to be willing to do at any high level of anything.
All right, Millsy, we only have about a minute and a half here. Did you buy yourself a nice retirement car to bomb around California and let the hair whip in the wind, or what? What do you got rocking over there?
No, man. When I signed with Anaheim, I knew I'd have to be on the highway a lot. I got a Tesla, so I get the HOV sticker, bud, the carpool lane.
Okay. the Tesla truck, the Tesla cars, or a convertible Tesla?
The SUV, the X, yeah. The one, and the doors kind of go up on the sides.
If you want to make a statement like that, Millsy, drive a Prius.
No, I just wanted, you visit California and you start respecting the HOV lane access more and more. So I don't know if I had to choose.
You're far from the blue water towel traffic.
You
jam
gotta
in
have
Buffalo,
something
right?
in your garage, yeah. Millsy. Don't leave me hanging. You don't have like some classic old Porsche or something, or you always like
I'm simple
cars.
Guy, Petey. I do. Simple guy though, Petey. You gotta. Okay. I'm a one thing at a time kind of guy. We'll see what's coming up.
Baby seat in the back of the Tesla. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, there's a booster seat back
booster
there.
Booster seat. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. He's six. He still needs a boost.
We got that going for us, which is nice. I'm surprised no Super Trooper. Give me one Super Trooper line before we're out of here, Millsy.
On the spot, eh?
Next guy that says shenanigans, I'm going to pistol whip him.
Somebody needs to definitely pistol whip you once in a while.
Look, a bar of soap. Ryan Miller, fantastic. One Bills Live next. Thanks, Millsy, for your time.